Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
First of all, I'd like to say if you're joining us for the first time or you don't know anything about us, my name's Julian, and together with Ben and Matt, I lead or help lead a church that is called Christchurch Blackpool. It's based in Blackpool in the UK. We're a fairly new church. We're just over 3 years old, and we're currently fairly small, kind of about 30 or 40 people who meet together in Blackpool, the UK. Blackpool's a town that's based in the northwest of England, on the coast, and it used to be a place where people would go for holidays, and it also used to house the political conferences for the UK parties. These days, neither of those happens very much. We get a few holiday makers coming, but we don't get any political conferences. They've moved elsewhere now. A recent report recently said that 8 out of the 10 most deprived areas in the UK actually existed in Blackpool. So it's a place that has an extreme level of poverty and huge challenges associated with that. We also normally have sort of rich people as well. Sort of, there are people who own businesses that are very successful based here in Blackpool. So it has this real sort of two extremes. Currently the council is busy trying to turn Blackpool's image around, turn it from being a dowdy seafront town to somewhere that, again, families would like to come on holiday. So they're doing up the front, and things are generally looking good in Blackpool, but sort of businesses are trying to do themselves up. So it's exciting times for Blackpool. Christchurch is sort of passionate about seeing communities based here in Blackpool, but those communities should reach out to diverse people. We're looking to reach the people in need, the poor, those who don't see that they have any prospects, who think that they're just going to live in Blackpool all their lives. We want to see them raised up, but we're also looking to impact people who are from sort of more wealthy backgrounds. And we've just got a real passion for seeing Blackpool turned around, really excited, therefore, what the council's doing. I think that's sort of just a good tale of what's to come. So you can find out more information about us on our website. You can find out details by following us on Facebook and or Instagram. Details are somewhere on the screen. So these are interesting times. Huge amounts changed in the last couple of weeks. We're on the second week of lockdown in the UK, and everybody's adjusting to sort of life now, where we're trying to stay separate from one another, trying to sort of not infect one another with this COVID-19 disease, for want of a better word. A month ago, you know, we were doing church quite differently. We were able to meet in one another's houses, share meals together, and now it's moved more to being trying to get video conferences working, trying to sort of speak over the telephone or text each other. So life is looking very different now, and I guess we're all trying to get acclimatized to that. You know, lots of people are trying to work out how to deal with the kids at work now that the schools are shut at home, and how to stop them bouncing off the walls. And then some people, you know, are trying to work from home, if you're able to do that. Other people are having to go into work, and yet more people aren't able to work at all. Either their sort of work is all closed down, or sort of they're on postponement at the moment. And then, you know, there's dealing with all the social distancing, keeping 2 metres. You go to the supermarket these days and you have to wait outside until someone comes out, and then you can go in. So life has changed quite dramatically in the last few weeks. And as a church, we're trying to work out how to be the church in this period. We're not trying to work out how to do church, we're trying to work out how to be the church. And community, as I said, is very important to us. We want to try and encourage people to contact one another. Inevitably, during this time, we're going to find sort of some things work and some things don't. We've been trying to get worship together, because it's important when we come together to worship God. That's what we were made for. So having the opportunity to come together and sing together is great. Unfortunately, a lot of the video conferencing tools are set up there to deal with one person speaking at a time, and so it sort of gets very difficult to actually do worship as we've done it in the past. So we're just investigating different things. I just want to ask, you know, bear with us, keep sort of dialing into these various video chats, keep trying to come along and worship with us. If you're feeling lonely, you know, sort of, why don't you message someone in the church? If you're visiting us, then why don't you send a message to the church Facebook group? You'll find a send message, and one of us will pick it up, and we'll happily chat with you and just encourage you. I was encouraged last Friday by our Zoom meeting. So we're having a couple of meetings where we come together. So on a Tuesday we come together, and the idea is just to find out how people are doing, how they're coping, what's going on in their lives, is there anything we can help with. It's great to see the members of sort of the church going out and shopping for other people. And, you know, sort of Tuesday provides a good opportunity for us just to come together and find out how each of us are doing. And then on Friday, we meet together to focus on praying, because prayer is really important. It's the opportunity to go and talk to God. But when we do it together, it just... we spark off one another, and it lifts prayer to a completely different level, where we just talk with God and spark off one another. And that was really what happened this last Friday. It was a really encouraging time together. We just prayed through a few different things. We were praying for people who are self-employed, who are really struggling. I think, you know, sort of the government's not going to step in until June, you know, businesses might sort of be in a real unknown, because business isn't coming in. So, you know, they've got real challenges. And then we were praying over a few other things, including sort of the NHS staff and how they're doing. So it's a real sort of opportunity to come together. And then finally, obviously, we're trying out Sunday meetings, not because we're looking to have meetings per se. We're just lots of people have set aside Sunday mornings to go to church, and so it's a good opportunity to continue that opportunity to come together. And we're looking at, you know, sort of how we do that, how do we best enable it. So one of the things, you know, the last couple of Sundays, Ben's brought the word to us. He's spoken about how we do church. And if you've not seen last week's preach, I encourage you, go and look at it. It was really good. Some really good points for us to just grab hold of. And that's really sort of what, you know, we want to encourage, is just to encourage you just in this time, particularly when, you know, sort of you could feel like you're all alone, you're separated. The truth is that needn't be the case. And we'd love to spend time sort of together and spend time talking with one another. So. So I just wanted to share briefly what God's been saying to me this week. If you're like me, you might have been looking at what other churches have been doing. You might have seen what God's saying to other churches. And if that's the case, this is probably not going to be anything new to you. But what I'm hoping to do is just to raise your eyes to do what Elisha did for his servant and pray to God that Elisha's servant's eyes would be open to see that there are more with us than are standing against us. I was in work a while back, and coronavirus had only just really sort of come across to the UK. It was certainly in its grip in Italy and in Spain, and sort of so at work we were just preparing to be able to work from home for work to shut down its building access, but for us to be able to continue to work from home. And so we spent about a week just making all the preparations, and then we came into the weekend, and I did some other things and came back Monday, and suddenly things seemed to have changed. Suddenly there was a real panic about people. I was being told that I shouldn't come into the university, that all of us should work from home as much as we possibly could. Even though at that time we hadn't had any lockdown or any issues, but that was sort of what I was being told, was that we needed to basically shut down and work from home, which was sort of out of the blue, and it really threw me, made me sort of feel quite unsettled. And I sort of spoke with the guys about it, but you know, this is just one example of what seemed to be a world that's going into chaos and panic. And there's lots of other examples on the media that I was sort of watching at the time. In the logical sense, I can put it down and sort of say, well, perhaps it's down to the way that the media's reporting on situations around the world, and at that time in the UK, And maybe, you know, sort of their reporting style was stirring people up to panic. And I think there is a sense of that. I think, you know, sort of things weren't communicated clearly, that clear leadership wasn't established. But it's an extremely difficult thing to manage, especially in a 24-hour news sort of world where people are demanding news every minute of the day. So I can understand how it came about, but it's really sort of through me how much my work situation had changed in what appeared to be overnight. But one of the things I just want to sort of say is lift your eyes, recognize that we don't just live in the world, that there is a supernatural battle taking place, and that the outworkings of all of that have impact into how people feel, how they sort of deal with situations. And I very much sort of felt that was part of what happened with my work situation. You know, when I look around, mental health issues seem to have sort of skyrocketed. Lots of people being diagnosed with anxiety or with depression. And, you know, sort of in the logical sense, I can see, you know, maybe it's because doctors are more aware of these sort of issues, and they're actually diagnosing people with them and treating them with drugs. But there may also be a supernatural aspect that is leading to more people having anxiety, having depression, being worried about what is happening next. What I really want to say is, it's not that these situations aren't happening. It's not that it's unimportant that we should dismiss, you know, all the anxiety, all these mental health issues. It's not that we shouldn't be nervous about COVID-19 and what it means for us and our loved ones. But at the same time, we need to recognise that the is a spiritual battle taking place, and we just need to pray into that and pray for God to advance in the situation. And God is supreme. He is the winner. He's come out of this situation, and what the devil chooses for harm, he has turned around for good. I was reading this week about the point where Jesus comes in from the lake, and he's met by a guy who seemed to be a raving lunatic. And he was, in fact, sort of had loads of demons in him. And Jesus speaks to the demons and sends them into a bunch of pigs and over a cliff. I wasn't particularly struck by that bit of the story. What I was struck by was that when the man had been cleansed of the demons, he came and sat at Jesus' feet quiet, and people came from the villages and realised what had happened. They realised that this man was now sort of calm, and that he once used to be a lunatic, and they were so afraid that they actually asked Jesus to leave the region. It just struck me about their fear. We're coming into Easter. In fact, next weekend is Easter break. There are two really sort of big dates in the Christian calendar. The first is Christmas, of course, where we remember that Jesus was sent by God to earth to come and just live a life as man, but sort of he came with a purpose, and that purpose was expressed in Easter when he actually died on the cross. And we remember that Jesus had to come to earth to live and then to die, because we, at the beginning of time, and continually, each one of us chooses to live their own way. We choose to make choices for ourselves. And God never designed or intended for us to do this. He expected us to live in relationship with Him and to talk with Him about the decisions we were looking to make. And so the problem was that when we made decisions for ourselves, that led us inevitably to be apart from God, and then that leads us to death. And a judgment has to come about the decisions we make, God's the consequence of those decisions, God's judgment, is that there must be death. And so Jesus came to die for us. He came to take our place, because if we died, that would be it. We would be forever separate from God, and God didn't want that. And so He sent His Son to come and take our punishment and to die in our place. And so when we recognize and we accept who Jesus is, and that we accept what He did for us, and we recognize that we were designed to be in relationship with God, that every decision we make, we can run past God. When we accept those things, then we're restored back into relationship with God and with Jesus. And that is the whole reason that Jesus came. And that's really what it means to start out to be a Christian. We choose to follow Jesus and do what God wants us to do. We listen to what God has to say. If you want to know more about all of that, please get in contact with us. You can contact us either through our website, or you can contact us on Facebook through the messaging there. So when Jesus came to die, he came and He was hung on a cross. He was crucified. And He was actually put up between two thieves. The thieves had been condemned and set to die alongside Jesus. And so Jesus was hung in the middle of these two thieves. And it was kind of a spectacle in that day. People would come out and mock people on the cross. Well, Jesus was no exception. He received a huge amount of mocking, particularly sort of because of some of the claims that He had made. People wanted to see Him come down from the cross and exercise the power of God. And Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to die for us. And so the crowd were mocking Jesus, and the thieves in turn then started mocking Jesus as well. However, Luke records that one of the thieves actually must have had a change of heart, and he said to the other thief, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." But this man has done nothing wrong. He then said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So I just want to pick up three things that stood out to me from reading those two Bible verses, those two passages. The first is that in the midst of all your fears, Jesus is there, right in the heart of it. You can find him. And the challenge there is just to put Jesus first, to focus on Jesus. You know, I'm aware that you can get sort of blinded by focusing on a single thing. But in this case, it's a good thing if we focus with all our sort of vision on Jesus, then all our fears fade away and no longer become important. I say that like it's an easy thing to do. I'm not there yet, so understand it isn't an easy thing to do, but God handed down to Moses a set of commandments. They're called the Ten Commandments, and the first one is that we shall have no other God before God, and that's the key to it, is to make God, to make Jesus the first thing that you speak about. He's the thing that you ought to speak most often about. So often I meet people and talk with them about what they do for work, and then inevitably that gets on to what I do for work. You know, I'm just brought back again to the fact that actually Jesus is most important in my life, that my work doesn't really have a huge part to play. It brings me money in, and it supports my family, it supports me. We have a very comfortable lifestyle. I'm very blessed to do what I do. I enjoy it. But in comparison, Jesus is far bigger. So, how do we make Jesus first? Well, let's get out and pray. You know, this time is an opportunity while we're being confined to our houses as much as we are. It's an opportunity to spend time praying. It's an opportunity to spend time reading our Bibles. It's an opportunity to spend time ringing round people and sort of finding out, being encouraged by them, being challenged by them. It's just a opportunity that in this time of reset, we can reset to focus on God. Secondly, I want to ask, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to follow? Are you going to listen to the crowd and be jeered on by them? Are you going to sort of mock the things that the crowd mocks? Or are you going to focus on Jesus? Are you going to turn your attention to Jesus? Psalm 91, it's an excellent psalm at this time. If you get a chance to read it, I'd recommend you do. But the first three verses say, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Finally, I want to say that it's never too late. You know, the man who was possessed by the demons, he had been that way for a long time, Matthew tells us, that it had taken a long time before Jesus came along and set him free. And the man on the cross didn't have very much time left at all. Certainly nothing that could make his ways any sort of more right. But it was an opportunity for them to turn to Jesus. And in turning to Jesus, they found peace and they found a lack of fear. If you want to know more about Jesus or know more about how to experience the peace that I've talked about today, and you don't know much about Jesus, you haven't given your life to Jesus, then we'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray with you. You can get in contact with us through our website or through Facebook, and we can talk with you about those things. Other than that, just to say, have a good week, stay safe, stay at home, be blessed.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.